Okay. Let's see. I got some notes that I made here. Some notes. As is my wont. You know, I'll write some notes. We're back. I was doing some ADR today. I was doing more stuff for voiceover stuff. I've got an opportunity. I was telling you guys about a gig. I don't know if I'm going to get the gig or not, but I auditioned for it. Also, doing some efforts for family. And what else, man? Just, you know, lots and lots of shit. But we're back here, and that should be it. But I can't guarantee nothing, you know. What I'm saying is we're going to remain busy, but we're going to push the show around the schedule a little bit better than we have been. Your head on my shoulder. You know, people are like super fans. They go to games and they look, they dress up. The very first one of those that anybody ever saw anywhere, guarantee you, was that dude who had the rainbow fucking fro in the 70s. People who watched football and baseball, in fact, back then, know who he was. He did that whole thing. He had a rainbow afro, and he was the first media savvy fan. He was the first media savvy civilian, other than, you know, people on the air, and the people would stand behind the studio window there for the Today Show, holding up signs like "Hi from, you know, whatever the hell it was, Bowling Green, Kentucky." But this guy played to the camera like a performer, like an entertainer. And I don't remember in the history of television anybody before him doing that. Maybe I'm missing something. Like I said, other than the people who, the camera's on him and they hold the sign up. But this guy had a rainbow fro. He didn't wear a shirt. He did a dance. He seemed to know where the camera was. He seemed to know exactly when to, you know, start dancing. Because every time the camera's on him, he's doing this. He seemed to be at every game. He knew the big games. And who was that cat, man? Is that something all I had to do was look up on Wikipedia and I'd find out? And then he got religion. And he started holding up John 3:16. And that got a whole bunch of other people holding up John 3:16. In the meantime, the rainbow wig inspired other people and more and more and more and more, and it became we now have the fan, the berserk insane fan culture that we live in. But that cat, man, I'd like to know who that guy was. I want to give a shout out to my old friend and dear friend Rochelle Parker, who I hadn't talked to in over 20 years. She was my girlfriend in the 80s, and we got, I don't know what, Facebook. Facebook is the most wonderful thing, man. It really is, you know. And she contacted me, and I was really happy to hear from her. That was great, you know, and we had a great sort of time reminiscing. No, it was fine. She's working. It's funny about people. You never know about what they're going to be doing when you eventually, when you meet up with them again, you know. She works in security now. And the funny thing, when I first met Rochelle, she was a bank teller. She was this blonde, tall, really slender girl in her early 20s. And she, of course, started hitting on me, and I, no, it was the other way around. But as I got to know her, she kind of was a hard ass. She was a kind of a tough chick. She came from, you know, pretty blue collar roots. So it makes sense. I find out later on that she runs security crews for events, press conferences. She said, "Oh, I had this press conference, the San Diego Charger press conference." She was at the big coming out for the Chargers here in L.A. It was her security team that was there, you know. I'm going to have to look for her on TV, if she makes it on TV. Actually, I'm just messaging her, telling her I'm going to give her a shout-out. So then I've got Bobby Dooley talking about something that Californians know probably pretty well by now. The goddamn heritage license plates. I don't know how many other states are doing this, but California now has heritage license plates, and I got heritage plates on my truck. And the reason why I did that is, honestly, it's just nostalgic. It feels better to have that gold on black plate. It makes me think it's the 60s all over again, and, you know, the world is new. Something like that. And it also, I have to be honest with you, it also kind of is a little bit of a identifier that you're a native Californian, I would say, or you've been here a long time, because you know what those plates represent. They represent a time 50 fucking years ago. I'm so goddamn old that I remember when I was, my first grade, second grade years in the 50s, late 50s, my mother's car having the black on gold plates, black numerals and lettering and the gold background. That was the California plate going back to the 30s. My mother had a two-tone Mercury. Actually, the family had a two-tone Mercury. There was one car. And when I, later on, you know, I realized, oh, we only had one car, and that seemed weird because, you know, everybody in America had two cars, one for mom, one for dad. Nowadays, who knows? But, yeah, two cars. But back then, yeah. And then finally my old man comes home with a fucking 1936 Ford. It's a Lincoln. Now, it's got that old 1936 body on it, you know, that it was a four-seater. So it's kind of like a sedan. You know the look. And it was just, he comes home with this goddamn thing for my mother. And, you know, she didn't complain that loudly. She said, oh, God, I'll never forget her standing at the door going, oh, and I was only four. And she goes, fuck me. No, she didn't say that. But it was wild, man. I remember driving in that fucking Lincoln and still smell the straw in the seats. Straw that they used to stuff the seats. I could still smell it. And where the seat was torn a little bit, I could actually see it. And it was a four-speed. And there's my mother cranking that fucking stick shift. Jesus Christ. And my old man took the goddamn Mercury to work. Black, two-tone, black and red 56 Mercury. Ford Mercury. That we drove to Toronto, Canada one summer to visit the relatives. Four kids, two adults in a 56 two-tone Mercury going across America in late August. And my old man told me later on, many, many years later, I was an adult, he was getting on in years, and he said, your mother, if it wasn't for her, it would have been hell on earth. He said, there were four kids in that car, think about that. And she kept you guys entertained. She always had food or a game to play. I never heard any of you screaming or crying or she said, your mom, my father was paying her a big compliment after all those fucking years of rancor and God knows what. He was, you know, finally saying, you know, she was an amazing woman. He said, she, you know, and I got to thinking about that. Four fucking kids in the backseat of that car. My brother, one of us sat up front. That was it. We alternated. Sometimes I sat up front. Sometimes Marianne, because we were the two youngest. So there'd be three kids in the back. And like my dad said, he said, there wasn't a peep out of any one of you guys. You were always just, I remember playing games. I remember, okay, my mother would say, you know, she'd have a collection of things. See if you spot all these things. I spy. You guys have played that in the car. Okay, now we'll do the alphabet game. Look at the license plates. I got A, B, C, D, you know. Let's get all 50 states of the license plates. We'd look at, you know, Arkansas, this, that. And then, of course, there was the places we stopped at. You know, every motel was, as far as I was concerned, was like a new adventure. Man, where are we now? You know, what is this? Where are we? Wyoming. You know, I thought it was unbelievable. And I'm trying to think of, that's when I learned to swim, too. That's where my kid sister and I learned to swim in all those motel pools. That we were at. And I mean, every goddamn motel, into the swimming trunks we went, into the, you know, trying to think of, I was just thinking of that trip across. Oh, I know. The first night, we took off at night. And of course, that makes sense. You know, it was the summer. you're driving across the Southwest, which is blazing fucking hot. And I remember being in that car that first night. That very first night we were driving through Southern California on our way to Arizona, and it was hot. I remember feeling the hot air. And my old man saying, well, we'll stop in Needles. We'll stop in Needles. Where's that, Dad? That's right on the California-Arizona border. So Needles became a magical place. Needles. Needles, Arizona, huh? That's right. We'll stop. I don't know what we were, maybe for food. That first night, plowing right on through. And then we must have stopped someplace, I don't know where. Flagstaff. The first place we stopped and spent the night was Flagstaff, Arizona. So my father must have been following the old Route 66, even though in the 50s the interstate system was under construction. I don't know how much of it had been finished by the time we got in the car. This is the summer of 1958. The interstate system began under the Eisenhower administration, and I don't believe it was finished entirely. It wasn't finished in the 70s. It was not finished in the mid-70s. I have to believe it got finished in the 80s, maybe, under Reagan. But in the 70s, 10 did not go through all the way in Texas. I remember having to get off that motherfucker because it had ended and taking highways through, like, Mississippi and Alabama. When I was driving back to California one summer, I'm thinking, wow, you know, because I went through, like, Philadelphia, Mississippi. I'm driving through this fucking place. And, of course, I'm thinking all that stuff about, you know, like fucking Ku Klux Klan, all that shit, you know. And I told the story and I pulled over. Where's 10? I didn't know where the 10 was. I knew I was on the right side. How far up is the 10? This Mississippi State highway worker. Well, they're up down there. Probably love seed. Okay, thanks. Yell out. You know, I don't understand. And I had that experience one other time with the person speaking English. Not one other time, but the other time distinctly was in London when some Cockney guy was talking to me. About my age. Right, you just about not out. Hey, you got the whole day. He was talking to me because I guess we're a bunch of Yanks, and maybe he was drunk, and maybe he's just giving a shit. I don't know. I didn't understand a fucking word this clown said. He had a mustache and curly hair, and he just all, right, he's shitting bottom left, right? You know, and like I said, you know, the other two English-speaking countries, Jamaica and Scotland, forget it. There's never a Dunne Kaiser. Kaiser Permanente. That's what he might as well be saying that. You said, Floyd? The Floyd. The Floyd? Aye, lad. Maybe a man on Goody. Be a president, man. You don't go to... Fuck! The fuck are you talking about? Hey, man. I'm a Taylor Hadden. Give it a training. Give it to Shady. Give it to Shady? No, man. You know. And so that was that cat. So, yeah, he must have been following Route 66. We went through Flagstaff. That was now that I remember, that was the first place we stopped and we slept. And I thought that was fucking great. I had never seen anything. We're in Flagstaff, Arizona. There's the, you can well imagine, you're a little kid. I was five, going on six. There's these mountains. And you're out in the desert now. You're not in L.A., so it must have been, the air must have been gorgeous. It was sunny. It all looked really just futuristic to me. And I remember going through, only because my mother would say, we're in Oklahoma. We did. We went through Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure. So it must have been Route 66. And then cut up, and we entered Canada at Detroit, not at Buffalo, you know. We entered Canada at Detroit. Because I remember going under the Detroit River and getting and crying because my father said, we're going under a river now. Ooh, look, there's water on the walls. Because the moisture, the condensation collects on the walls there of the tunnel that goes under the river. And I said, what? What, Dad? And he said, we're under there's a river. But that freaked me. I started crying. And my mother later told me that she and my father had a big argument over that. That he scared me. There's a little Henry family memento for you, memory.
Fortune hunter, fortune hunter.
Rollin Stewart, born in 1944. He's still with us. Also known as Rockin' Rollin' and Rainbow Man, is a man who is a fixture in American sports, best known for wearing a rainbow-colored Afro-style wig, and later holding up the signs reading John 3:16 at sports stadium events around the United States. Stewart became a born-again Christian, was determined to get the message out via television. His first major appearance was at the 1977 NBA Finals. Well, no, that wasn't his first. Let me see this man. They tried to avoid showing him. He appeared behind NFL goalposts near Olympic medal stands and even at the Augusta National Golf Club. At the 1982 Indianapolis 500, he was behind the pits. He was behind the pit of racer Gordon Johncock. Stewart would strategically position himself to key shots or plays or... what does it say here? Of the athlete. Stewart's fame led to a Budweiser beer commercial, a Saturday Night Live parody sketch where he was portrayed by Christopher Walken. Now, is that what... He was a born-again Christian through the whole time? And later, it says later holding up signs that says John 3:16. Dig this. Stewart was arrested in 1992 after a standoff at a California hotel during which he entered a vacant room with two men he was attempting to kidnap and surprised a maid who then locked herself in a bathroom. Reportedly, Stewart believed that the rapture was due to arrive in 6 days. During the standoff, he threatened to shoot at airplanes taking off from nearby LA International Airport and covered the hotel room windows with John 3:16 signs. Stewart is currently serving 3 consecutive life sentences in prison on the kidnapping charges, having rejected a plea deal of 12 years in order to spread his message in open court. After being sentenced, he began a religious tirade and had to be restrained by bailiffs. He became eligible for parole in 2002, but was denied as recently as March 2010. His next parole review will be in 2017. After his conviction, he was found guilty of 4 stink bomb attacks. Stewart ran a blog until the time of his parole denial. He is the subject of a 1997 documentary, Rainbow Man, by Sam Green. Oh, fuck. Stewart was married 4 times, most notably to Margaret Hockridge. The two met at a church in Virginia in 1984. They began traveling across the country together in 1985. While on the road, they married in St. Louis in 1986. During the 1986 World Series, Hockridge said that Stewart tried to choke her for standing in the wrong spot with a John 3:16 sign. They divorced in 1990, but kept in touch for many years. End of the Rainbow, People Weekly, New York Magazine, 1992. Rockin' Rollin', a fan only of God, takes a message to every game. That's People, 1988. Russians meet Gatecrasher, AP, New York Times. Sports World Specials. Jesus Christ, what a funny story. Here, and you guys know what he looks like, but I'll just... Your head on my shoulder. Oh, Rollin Stewart. Here he is. That's the man. There he is in prison. Jesus Christ. He ain't looking too happy there. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Back in the better days of... his Rainbow Man stint. TV's wigged evangelist turns violent. There he is. Yeah, that cat man, every fucking game. Oh, well. Wait a minute, what is this? Jesus is... Yeah, that guy was like on... He knew where to stand. There he is. His tirade, I'm guessing. All right, let me check out and see what we got here, man. Oh, good. We're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler talk about him tonight. Rollin Stewart. Who's that, Tebow? Tebow threw for 316 yards, 31.6 yards per completion. Is that true? Even though Florida got their fucking ass kicked. So there was a message from God in that, but it wasn't. Didn't mean they were winning the game. There's Christopher Walken as the guy. The Rainbow Man, John 3:16 by Sam Green. That's the documentary. We gotta look that one up, man. Angry Ward Wednesday, Mom Knows... What the fuck? Yeah, there you go. That's what everybody used to see in the TV. There he is. This is the poor guy that got in the way of the foul ball. He's another well-known fan. Although after the Cubs won the World Series, they said all is forgiven. Some shit. Who knows? All right, man. Is tomorrow Thursday? Yeah. Fortune hunter. Fortune hunter. Oh, I know what I gotta do. Go to the downloads, motherfucker. There it is. There's my boy. Oh, shit. The who? The Patriots mascot visited Mission Control today, helping NASA participate in Super Bowl 51. Robert Gronkowski's bio they're showing, his high school bio. This fucking Super Bowl week's getting just like nut. I mean, it's a major party. And there's some cat who, from Austrian TV, dressed up in, as a chick, as an empress. You got me, man. I mean, I did this audition tonight for an animated show, and I didn't do the last page. I had to fucking go back and do that. I don't know how I missed that. Then I did an audition yesterday I told you about, which is a big show. Big, well-known producer on a big, new network. You probably guessed the network. And I'm, you know, I get a call from my agent going, did you send that? Yeah. I said, yeah, I sent in yesterday. I sent in yesterday before noon, as a matter of fact. Oh, no, we have it. I'm like, man, don't scare me, man. What am I doing, man? Fortune hunter. Then today I was doing ADR over at Wildfire in Beverly Hills. And that was 11 o'clock, had to get up and roll into L.A. You got to give yourself 2 hours, man, to get there. And I get there early, naturally. But I'd rather be there early, man, than late, right? So, okay, I've got 45 minutes. I hang out at the Trader Joe's in Beverly Hills, which is fucking huge. And there's a bunch of apartments on Burton Way, 8500 Burton Way. Look at it in your... Just go online. It's called 8500 Burton Way, I think, .com or 8500burton.com. These apartments, they're now leasing. And the view these fucking things have got is fantastic. I was looking at this thing. I was thinking, there's got to be something wrong with this, man. Either the tenants, the people that live there are assholes, something, you know. It looks, because it looked cool from the outside. I could see every one of these apartments had an incredible view, had these big wraparound picture windows, you know. Fuck. First New England player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame was John Hanna, considered by some to be the greatest offensive lineman ever. You know, they were showing the Patriots on the NFL Top 10. Who's the guy? God damn it. He was like Lawrence Taylor before there was a Lawrence Taylor. He was a linebacker for the Patriots. Might have been he was a linebacker. And I can't remember his... I remember hearing his name throughout the... his playing career. But before there was a Lawrence Taylor, there was this cat for the pay. Who the fuck was that guy?
Who is he? Huh? Anybody know?
I'll find out. And then I want the... You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You dragged and dragged me. The soul within me.
You from the beautiful Russian River here in Central California, the beautiful, beautiful Bishop, California. I'm near the Brown River. I'm near the beautiful Brown River here in Northern California, just a few miles southeast here of Buffalo, not Buffalo, but Bubbalo.
Where's Bubbalo?
That's in California. It was named by some people from Buffalo, and they decided But I'll tell you, it's just...
Where are you?
I'm just... I'm sorry.
May I hold your hand in mine, girl?
The Forbes interview from Podcast One just launched with the king of podcasting, Adam Carolla. On February 1st, we're dropping a new show. It's called Forbes Under 30, where we talk to young entrepreneurs hosted by...
Wait a fucking minute. I'm fucking it all up. Wait a minute. Fucking it all up. Yeah, fucking it all up. Yeah, fucking... Okay.